The scriptures from Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Ken. So I'll turn it over to the pastor.
Happy Sabbath, church. Happy Sabbath again. I want to hear you. I want to get your attention again. It's a blessing to be here in Harper today, and it has been a blessing always to come and fellowship with you despite all the challenges that we face. When I was listening to the praises and prayer requests touches my life, this week or the last few weeks, I have been reflecting on God's goodness, mercy, and grace, and His forgiveness, that I can be called a son of God, and I can be counted as one of His servants. I'm greatly humbled every time I face the cross, only to see the favor of God. There's nothing to boast about, but to humbly kneel at the cross, ask for forgiveness, ask for the cleansing of God, and seek that my name be the book of life. I want to be in heaven when Jesus comes. That's my goal. My sermon this morning is Eyes on the Goal. I'm sorry I gave a different adjective there of the goal, but it's on the goal. Eyes on the goal. And before I unpack that, let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, our Creator and our Sustainer, from this little church here in Harper, we come opening our hearts to you this morning to ask for nothing but your presence, and that you also may speak to our hearts. Because you understand the depths of our challenges and life that we live in. And you are so much interested than we think. And we thank you, Lord. Therefore, be in our midst. Send your Holy Spirit to embrace us. Speak to our minds, the innermost heart, parts of our lives. That at the end of this, we may respond to you, yes, we want to focus on the goal. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The race is not over. The race is not over. Our focus, our text is from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. I want to call your minds here. I know sometimes you get distractions. Even if you are senior, you can be distracted. We have our phones. Nowadays, the phones don't care whether you're a young man, a young child, or an older person. A phone can distract you from listening and focusing on God. And so put it off if you're not using it, and get your Bible with you. Many people believe that life slows down when you become a little senior or an older person in life. Even the society often says that you have done your part. Now you ought to wait. This church is a composition of most of you are senior. I always have to think what I should speak to you about when I come to this place. The sermons I preach elsewhere cannot apply directly sometimes. But I have to understand that you have children who are giving you problems. You have grandchildren who are a challenge to you. You have children you have prayed for years that they may have their hearts and lives to God. And you see sometimes that you have slowed down in your life. And you wonder how this life will end. In our eyes are tears of concern. Tears because of sicknesses and pain and losing loved ones. That's why Paul, when writing this specific epistle to the Philippians, he writes from prison. He was not a young boy at this time. He was an older man nearing the end of his ministry. And then he says something very different from what older or senior people can say. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. That's what he says. But this one thing I do. So Paul, I want you to pause for a moment. This guy is in prison. He's not a young man. He has served for years. He's almost closing his ministry. In other words, about to retire. But he says, one thing that I have to say is this. Not that I've perfected my life. Yes, I'm a great preacher. Thousands have been baptized under my preaching. Many have gone, given their hearts to God. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before me. In other words, he has not given up. He is still pressing on. I press forward. That's an action word. I press forward. As much as I'm older, I press forward to the mark for the prize of high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So Jesus is still the goal for Paul in his old age. He's still not given up. He's still pressing on. And I want you to notice something when Paul is speaking this. Of course, I've said he's not young. He's an old guy. But he has planted churches everywhere. He has written much of the Old New Testament, about 14 epistles in the New Testament book. And he says, I have not arrived. People do things and they feel they have accomplished. But Paul, having done all these great things in the world, he still feels he's not arrived. As long as we have the breath, my brothers and the sisters, my mothers and fathers, my respected older parents, I want to say that as much as you have breath, God still has a purpose in your life. Can you say amen? He still has a purpose in your life. Paul is not saying we erase the memory. I say, I have learned to do one thing, forgetting those which have gone in the past. He's not saying you erase the memory. He's saying we refuse to allow yesterday to determine today's faithfulness. So today's faithfulness is not determined by what happened yesterday. Because that's what the devil does all the time. Reminding you of the past. Reminding you of the past. Most of the senior people in the community, the things behind them can include things like this. The past victories. They have won great things. You have done great things in life. There are things that you look back and say, yes, I made it. Past failures. There are things you have miserably failed as a man, as a woman. In life, when you look at your life, you have failed something. These are things in the past. Regrets. There are some things you regret in your life. There are things that you have lost opportunities. You had an opportunity in some time when you were younger, but now you feel it's a regret. It's a lost opportunity. Of course, in your life, there are hurts. You have been hurt so badly. Those are things which are gone past. Bereavement. You have lost the loved one. You have lost very close family member. Either a spouse or a child or a close parent or a relative. Or a grandchild. You have lost someone. There is broken relationships. You remember all the broken relationships in your past. And you look at that as things that affect your life even presently. Declining health. You look at your health, you are no longer younger. You are no longer healthy as you used to be. You are degenerating in health. And so when you look at all these things, some people live looking through a rare view of the mirror of their lives. So all the time, you are looking at these things which are past. Paul says, I refuse to allow yesterday to determine my today's faithfulness. Can you say amen? That's what Paul says. Keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes ahead. Remember what Isaiah 43 verse 18 and 19 says. Remember you not the former things. Behold, I will do a new thing. Always remember that God wants to do a new thing in your life. Even if you feel you are slowing down in life, God still wants you to do something new. God always works in the present. He's not given up yet. He's still working in your present. Luke chapter 9, verses 62 says, no man has put his hand to the plow, and looking back is fit for the kingdom. In other words, a Christian life is always forward looking. You cannot hold a plow and keep looking back. You keep pressing forward and keep going because that's how a Christian life is. We keep looking forward, even if things are not good now or in the past. Hebrews chapter 12, a very famous text, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, that looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our human race, of our race, not looking to our failures. All those men and women of faith were still looking forward to the promise of the second coming of Jesus. Although they never saw it, but they embraced it by faith that one day they will meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let us keep looking and putting our eyes on the goal, meeting Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our goal. Not looking at the disappointments, looking at Jesus. That's the main thing. Yes, things didn't work well in your life. Things didn't work well in your family. You made big mistakes. Oh, yes, you did. But the thing is this, don't keep looking at those things. Keep looking forward and looking at Jesus Christ. The Christian life, Ellen White says, in Ministry of Healing, pages 454, that the Christian life is constantly an onward march. You keep on marching forward. Jesus sits as a diviner and a purifier of his people. Jesus is about to keep making you better in your Christian life. So we have to keep going forward. Another comment Ellen White makes here is from Life Sketches, pages 196. She says, we have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way he has led us in the past. So God wants us to have our eyes fixed on the goal. I want you to notice the balance, how Ellen White puts this. Forget your failures and never forget God's faithfulness. Forget your failures, but don't forget God's faithfulness in your life. So sometimes we focus on the failures, but lose sight of the great things God did for you in the past. Don't forget God's faithfulness in your life in the past. Let's keep going forward so that we can reach forward. The Greek word used in this text, reaching forward, means stretching every muscle towards the finish line. Those of you who understand the athletes, they run. When they're about to close, to reach the finish line, they add a little more power and energy as they go. They have to stretch their muscles a little harder so that they can finish strong. And therefore, Paul means that stretch forward, reach forward, stretch your muscles towards the finish line. Don't weaken, don't slow down. Keep marching, keep going. We are about to reach there. Paul says, I'm still reaching forward. Yes, I'm old, but I'm still reaching forward, not relaxing, not retiring spiritually, not giving up, Because sometimes even your commitment to God retires. Your service to God slows down. Sharing the gospel to a neighbor slows down. Everything in your life slows down because you think you're an older person now. But that's not what Paul is talking about. Many senior people think that I've done my work. I've been an elder for long. I've been in the church for long. I've served for long. But the Bible never speaks of retirement from God's service. Hallelujah. Bible never says retire from serving God. I've heard some people in churches, oh, pastor, I've served for long. I think I should retire now. And retire to go. Where are you going? You are in the presence of God. You serve God until you drop dead. Keep serving and keep doing it because he wants to do something new in your life every day. Moses started, let me give you some Bible examples of men who served in their senior ages. Moses started leading Israel at 80. He was an 80-year-old man doing the work he was doing. Caleb claimed the mountain at 85. When he claimed the mountain, it was 85. Daniel served until his old age when he's giving the visions. A man who had served for long. And then we have John. John received revelation as an elderly in exile in the island of Patmos. He was an old man right there in that island. Anna served God continually in the temple of God. She was continually in her old age serving God in the temple. The book of Psalm 92 verse 12, I love that verse. It says that the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree in the desert. And it's amazing the way he says that they shall still bring forth fruit in the old age. As you grow and serve God, even in the old age, still the fruit will keep coming. Because you're consistently putting your eyes on the goal. I want you to notice that not merely surviving. In the old age, you don't just survive. You bear fruit. That's what the scripture says. You bear fruit even at that point. Elder believers or older believers are God's seasoned servants. You are not starting now. You're not babies in the faith. You are seasoned now. You understand many things in the faith. So we bear more fruit as we are more grown in faith. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31. The gray hair. Most of you are gray-haired. The gray hair is a crown of glory, the Bible says. This is a crown of glory. It's an achievement in the kingdom of God. It is gained in a righteous man, as the scripture says that. So gray hair is not a weakness. The world may look at you and say, he is an old man. She's an old man, woman. No, you have a sign in your hair. Many of us struggle to hide our white and gray hairs. Why? Because we think it's a weakness. But it is a strength. It's a sign that we have gained something. It's a crown of glory when you are in the service of the Lord. It's a testimony of God's sustaining grace. When somebody sees your gray hair in the service of God, you have been in here for long. Sustained by the grace of God. And you are gloriously showing, yes, God is still working in my life. Ellen White says something here in Review and Herald, July 20th, 1886. However old or infirm they may be, there is still a work for old and young. That's what she says. They should improve every opportunity to do good. Use every opportunity to do good for the Lord. Don't slow down. He's saying, keep on doing it. Yes, we are not so many in the church, but we can still add to this church through your service and ministry. We can still add to this church through your ministry. Don't slow down, that there's nothing more you can do. And so again, Ellen White says in Christ Object Lessons, pages 330, that the Lord has a place for every human agent. Those who are willing to be taught by him may become laborers together with God. So what is the point here? Your willingness to be taught by God, you become a laborer of God at any age of life. So your willingness right now and commitment to Jesus will make a difference. That is where the catch is. How commit? Don't slow down. Keep committing yourself to the Lord. Age does not disqualify usefulness. The world says he's an old man. Leave him alone. They actually see older people as useless. Not, they are not productive anymore in the community. And they want to get rid of them. And they are more focused on the young generation. But God doesn't say that. Old age does not disqualify your usefulness in the ministry. What are you doing for the Lord? That's my question this morning. If I ask you on a personal level, what are you exactly doing for the Lord? You are waiting for the Sabbath, come to church, do the little things in the church and go back home, and that's it. Very small God wants you to do. That's why I say put and fix your eyes on the goal that you may be productive even at the old age, that God may bring more fruit in his kingdom. He doesn't depend on other person. It depends on us who are here. It depends on you and me to do the work that he has given us in Harper City. Paul says, I keep pressing forward. Paul changes the picture now. Life is a race. Now he has come out of this other thing. He's saying now, let's go to the race. Life is a race. And he says, I keep pressing forward. The goal is not retirement. According to Paul, the goal is not retirement. Many times when we work, even now as young people and young generation, we are always being told, you plan for your retirement. Prepare for your retirement. Retirement is coming. That's the thing that people fear. Why? Because it seems to be the goal. But that is not what the scripture says. Retirement is not the goal. The goal is not earthly success. Sometimes you are told, prepare. You have to make money. Become more rich. Have this. Have that. That is not the goal. The goal is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is the goal. And we will press forward until we see him eye to eye. God wants us to know that our goal is just Jesus Christ. Put your focus on the goal. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 35 to 37. Cast not away therefore your confidence. I know. We are losing confidence. Cast not away your confidence. Keep focusing. Cast not away your confidence, which has a great reward. The amazing thing, this confidence we have right now has a great reward. Don't quit near the finish line. Don't quit near the finish line. I've seen other runners when they're running, when they're about to close the line, they drop out. So sad. But don't quit near the closing or the finish line. Revelation 2:10, what does it tell us? Be faithful unto death. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Jesus says, be faithful until you die, and I will give you the crown of life. That's what Jesus is promising us. Don't give up. Focus your eyes on the goal. Not faithful until retirement. Doesn't say that. You are only faithful until you retire. No. Faithful until death. Matthew 24, 13. What does it tell us? He that shall endure unto the end. Those who will endure until the end, the prize belongs to those who finish the line. The prize is there for each one of us. But you'll only get it if you stay faithful and finish the race. And so we cannot stop at this point. We cannot retire from serving God at this time. We cannot give up at this time. We are still to press on towards the mark that is ahead of us. What does Paul tell Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. These are Paul's last recorded words that he spoke. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And I want you to notice something, the progression on how he does say this. In the Philippians, I am pressing. He says, now, I am pressing. Then later he says, I have finished. He is pressing. Then he says, now, I have finished the race. That cannot become every believer's, or that can become every believer's testimony. It can be your testimony, it can be my testimony too in this life. Ellen White says in Steps to Christ, heaven is worthy everything to us. We must not risk the loss of heaven. Don't risk it. It's worthy everything you live for. Those who persevere, Acts of the Apostles, pages 591. Those who persevere to the end will be saved. If you stick faithful, persevere the pain, the sorrows, and all the challenges you're facing, you stay until the end, you will be saved. It is he who endures the trial that will receive the crown of life. Enduring the trials right now, then we will receive the crown of life. Bible talks of, Paul talks of the price. He speaks about the price of the high calling of God. What is the price? What is this price we are looking for? Not wealth. Of course not wealth. Not comfort that many of the people in the world are looking for. Not recognition in things of this world. The price is eternal life with Jesus Christ. That is the price we are all looking for. That makes me come here, leave Africa where I was, leave what I do and move in the village, in the place and home to home, talking about this goal, Jesus Christ. That is our goal. We are all headed there in the same direction. That's what Titus chapter 2 verse 13 calls, we are looking for the blessed hope. We are looking for the blessed hope. It's more, very clear in Adventist church, we are a people of hope. People have very, very strong and focused hope in the coming of Jesus Christ. We are one waiting to see Jesus Christ come soon to this world. In John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3, Jesus promised that I will come again. He will come again. So we are not giving up. We are not retiring. We have to keep pressing forward, focusing and putting our eyes on the goal until we see Jesus Christ. Of course, the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, says there, when he comes, when we meet him, chapter 21, verse 4 says, there will be no more pain. There'll be no more walkers when people walk. There'll be no more tears, no more wheelchairs in the kingdom that we are waiting for. There's a great reward for those who remain faithful. There's no more cancer that makes us feel painful in this world. There's no more funerals that we'll be attending. There's no more tears ever there again. What a joy. I look forward for Jesus Christ. It's no time to give up, church. My dear friends, it's no time to retire. Hang in there. He's with us and he's not leaving us. Ellen White says something here in The Great Controversy, pages 675. To dwell forever in this home of the blessed, to bear in the soul, body, and the spirit the perfect image of our Creator. This is the object to be gained when we meet Jesus Christ. And one more encouraging quotes from Ellen G. White in Adventist Home, pages 542, I quote, we are homeward bound. He who loved us so much as to die for us had built for us a city. The New Jerusalem is our resting place. Ellen White is focused in the goal. My dear friend, this morning, many of us or many of you may have buried so many loved ones. Many of you have raised children. Many of you have worked hard in your life. Many of you have remained faithful to God in this church. Many of you return faithful tithe and offering to the Lord. Many of you have supported evangelism. I remember how many times you have supported ministry when I go to Africa for those needy situations. Many of you endure illnesses and disappointments in your lives. But today God is saying something. Don't stop now. Don't stop now. The finish line is near than when you first believed. The finish line is closer than when we first believed. So what do you need to do, church? Keep praying. Keep witnessing for the Lord. Keep encouraging younger believers. Keep studying the Bible together. Keep attending the church. Don't leave church because you are tired now. Don't keep attending church. Keep your eyes on Jesus. That is the goal. as someone has wisely said, that the race is often won by those who refuse to quit the race. Can you say amen? Refuse to quit. Keep coming. And some of you, if it was not coming to church, you would be down by now. Church has kept you alive. By simply serving God, you are strong. And you can be able to face the people. You can come out for something. But if you quit, you will go down quickly. And so God wants us to keep doing it, pressing on. The race is often won by those who don't quit the race. In conclusion, I want to give you an illustration here. After 26 miles, he sees the finish line. Will he stop because he's tired? No. He gives everything he has left. Those of you who know running, you give everything. Likewise, many of us are much closer to heaven today than when we first believed. We are closer to the city of glory. This is not a time to slow down spiritually. This is no time. It is time now to look up. Paul's final testimony became, "I have finished my course." May yours be the same as Paul's. I've finished the course in the Harper Church. My appeal to you this Sabbath morning, afternoon now, is exactly noon. My appeal to you is simple. Keep your eyes on the goal. Don't let yesterday define your life. Don't let age discourage you. Don't let sicknesses steal your hope of living for Jesus. Jesus is coming soon. The crown is almost within reach. Press on until the day you hear these words, "Well done, good and a faithful servant. Enter unto thy and into the joy of thy Lord." Until you hear that, then it's over, it's done. That's my prayer for us. As we sing the song, the closing song is which song? We have this hope, I think so. 2:14. And I want us to sing that song with these words in heart. Let's keep pressing forward, fixing our eyes and putting our eyes on the goal. Our Heavenly Father, we have this hope that burns within our hearts, hope for the coming of the Lord. We have this faith that Christ alone imparts, faith in the coming of Jesus Christ. May this be our hope as we conclude our service this morning. Help us to put our eyes on the goal. May you fill us with your Holy Spirit and renew our strength that we can remain faithful and be fruitful in the house of the Lord. Strengthen those who are struggling. Strengthen and heal those who are sick. Remembering those who are their sons and daughters and children who are going through painful experiences. If it's thy will, Lord, may you send thy power of healing upon them. And above all, draw them to yourself, that they too may be saved. Take care of us, Lord, the rest of this afternoon as we continue to reflect upon your wonder-working power of creation and salvation. In Jesus' name we pray, and let the church say, amen. Amen.